the first chapter of Romans. Now, this congregation, this church family, whether I'm here or away, is always on my mind and heart, continually. And I borrow the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 1, verse 8, to express one thought to you this morning. Paul says in verse 8, First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Literally, your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Your faith, your grace, your generosity, your gospel, literally is spoken of throughout the whole world. There are few churches in this world that are as well known and well loved and respected more than the 13th Street Baptist Church of Ashland, Kentucky. It's astounding to me when I hear from places all over the world and visit in different places, people are not only aware of this congregation, but they're knowledgeable of this congregation. Just this past 2 weeks in my absence, letters have come here from England, not from the missionary, from some other people in England, along with the missionary, from Ireland, from the West Indies, from Mexico, from other Australia, in New Guinea, a long letter from Calcutta, India. This church is ministering in Calcutta in a preacher school in India. Your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Verse 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Not only asking God to bless you, not only asking God to minister to you, but thanking God for you. Thanking God for you and for your loyalty and faithfulness and dedication to him and to his word. Another scripture I'd like to read is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Again, the words of the Apostle Paul, and he's speaking of an assembly, of a congregation, of a church. I know people say, don't brag on people. I'm not bragging on anybody. I'm thanking God for somebody. And I'm also giving thanks to somebody without whom I wouldn't have a ministry or a place to preach or the opportunity to preach. Paul did it. He said, I thank God for you. Notice here in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all. Who's he talking to? Church of Thessalonica. Making mention of you in my prayers. Remembering without ceasing. I remember your work of faith. I remember your labor of love. I remember your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. In the sight of God and our Father. And I know, brethren, beloved, your election of God. I have evidence of it. Our gospel didn't come to you in word only, but in power. Life-changing, heart-gladdening power. Holy Spirit power. Assurance. Verse 6, and you came to be followers of us in the Lord. And verse 7, you became examples to other believers, examples in your faithfulness and your generosity and your love and your attitude. In verse 8, from you, from you, from this little assembly, has sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Ashland, Boyd County, state of Kentucky, Macedonia, K, but in every place, your faith to Godward is spread abroad so that we need not to speak anything. I have this week also received word, and this to me is astounding. It's astounding. I've received word that our Sunday school lessons, this thing has just gone so much further than I expected through your support and help and enabling. Bill Clark wrote and said they're already translating our Sunday school lessons, those Bible class commentaries, into French and Portuguese, that they're so pleased with the books that have been printed in English, and all six of them will be finished this year, but they're already translating, Bob, Romans into French, which will cover all of Africa, and Portuguese. That's the 13th Street Baptist Church Sunday School lessons. And that thrills me. And our tapes all over the world. And I received a letter from a pastor on St. Kitts. This is not Dan Shanks. This is our friend, Brother Connors, who pastors the First Baptist Church on St. Kitts in the West Indies. A black pastor, a beloved pastor of a congregation, been there 25 or 30 years. You'll like this. He said, "Dear Brother Mahan, this letter comes to you from the big, black, bashful, busy, broke bachelor, baptized Baptist Bishop of Basseterre, West Indies. This is my first letter to you, and I want to thank you for writing to me. I wrote him and sent him our books. I visited his church last month. Your visit to our church that Sunday was a real blessing. It was an honor to have the servant of the Lord in our little village Baptist church. His church is bigger than this church. It's 400 or 500 people there that Sunday morning. Your television program has been quite a rich blessing to this new nation, and we look forward to hearing you each Lord's Day." That's 13th Street Baptist Church preaching in the West Indies. And I say those things. I thank God for your vision, for your faithfulness, for your generosity, for your support. I thank God for the men who fill this pulpit. And what makes my heart leap with joy is when I call home and I say, "How was the services?" And the people I talk to say, "Just great. The message was such a blessing, such power in the delivery of the word." Bob and Bill Parker and Ron and Scott Richardson and Don Fortner all just glorified Christ and preached with liberty and such dedication of spirit, such able men preaching the word of God. How was the attendance? Good, very good. And that nothing thrills me more than the loyalty and faithfulness of this congregation. And God's opened doors for your pastor to preach in other places. And I say every year, "I'm going to stay home. I'm not going. I'm going to cut out on meetings." But how do you say no when you're invited? Just last two weeks, I preached Wednesday night in Houston. Two churches came together. I preached Friday night in Yobain, Mexico, Saturday night in Tikal, Mexico, Sunday morning in Merida, Mexico, and looked out there at a church being built, the roof of it put on there by the 13th Street Baptist Church, the kindness and gifts. So that thrills me. And my heart says, "Thank you, Lord, for the 13th Street Baptist Church." And then Sunday night preached out in Esamol, and Monday 20 or 25 native pastors gathered, and I spoke to them for an hour and a half. And then down in Chiapas, God is opening doors. And next month, or in a couple of weeks in Tyler, Texas. Never been there, but a pastor has come in the last two or three years to an understanding of grace, and he's preaching it in a small church. He wants me to come preach for him. In Savannah, Georgia, pastor I've never met. He listened to one of our tapes on the Trail of God's Sheep. He said, I listened to it 100 times. Would you come preach for me? How do you say no? I'll tell you what you say. I'll be there, and our folks will be praying for me as I come preach to your congregation. And here's the thing that encourages me, and I say this to you. The thing that encourages me about all of this, the television ministry and our letters this week, Ron, hundreds of tapes went out the last two or three weeks. And these tapes go into all the foreign countries and this open doors. The thing that encourages me is the realization that none of this is promoted. We've promoted none of it. It hasn't been sought. We do not send out brochures and resumes and invite ourselves or our church anywhere. We actually put forth as little effort as possible to create any kind of contact or situation. That way we know it's of God. Oh, you see what I'm saying? We make ourselves available, but we do not promote. We do not solicit. And the thing that makes me so happy is that this is all coming to pass by the hand of God. And quite often, to be perfectly honest with you, especially of late, I long for a less complicated life. I long for a quieter existence. I long for a slower lifestyle. And just meet with this congregation, have a Bible class during the week, and just rest a little. Play a little golf, you know. Just slow down. But several things keep me on the present course. And I've thought it over and prayed about it and struggled with it. But there's several things that keep me on this course. I'll give you four. I want you to listen to these and weigh them. It is evident to me, clearly evident, I believe to some of you, that this 13th Street Baptist Church is more than a local ministry by God's grace. It is more than a local ministry. It is a ministry and a church which God is pleased to use to minister the gospel of divine grace all over the world. Now, there's some local congregations and local pastors that are being effectively used where they are. There's some even with a broader range. But this church, for reasons known only to God, in His divine wisdom and in His divine purpose, is a church with the gospel message and the tape ministry and a book ministry and these things and traveling. Some just today, two of our young men are up in Cottageville preaching. One is down in Albany, Georgia. One is over in Louisa. And your pastor travels everywhere. This church has been given by God's divine grace a worldwide ministry. That's a fact. It is an undisputable fact that this is not only a local congregation. Don't expect the aspects of a local congregation alone. I've had people say to me when I go places to preach, and they say, you're on the road a lot. What does your congregation say about that? Well, I say, strangely, they say good. They like for their pastor to go to other places and preach the gospel. And they enjoy hearing these other men. They enjoy benefiting and being blessed by the ministry of other men. Secondly, things that keep me on the present course. Secondly, we're committed. We're committed to a TV ministry. It's expensive, but my friends, we're ministering the gospel the gospel of grace. Now, I'll tell you this. If we were saying what these other men are saying, I wouldn't spend this money. I watched last night trying to raise money for Channel 61 to become a Christian television station 24 hours a day. We don't need it. That's the biggest waste of money in the world. Every time you turn your radio on or turn on your TV, somebody's singing a whang-whang gospel song or some preacher's up there talking about man's free will. We don't need any more religious stations, any more religious. We don't need ours unless we preach the gospel of God's grace. That's the reason we must stay on the air. Because we're unique boys. We're different boys. We're a different message. If I was saying the same thing as Swaggart and Graham and Falwell and Copeland and those fellows, I wouldn't waste the money or the time. But we're not saying what they're saying. And if you don't see the difference, you've got some problems. That's just fact. They don't have the problem. You got the problem if you don't see the difference. And that's... We must maintain this ministry. We must maintain this tape ministry. And missionaries. This church has the major responsibilities for some missionaries, about 10 or 11 of them. You carry the major load. And I feel good when I can go down to, I was down in Mexico and talking with Brother Gruber. And he said to me, he said, the school fund is getting quite low. You know, we have the preacher school, and the building was built, which you, in the major point, are part financed. And they meet each Monday, and these Walter teaches these men, Alfonso teaches them. They go out and preach the gospel to all the Pueblos. There are about 20 or 25 of these preachers. The school fund furnishes their books and material and their meals and their bus fare and these things to come in, helps buy their tires for their motorcycles and things. And the school fund's low. He said, it's running down. I got enough to last me to June. I felt perfectly confident, totally confident to say to him, the 13th Street Baptist Church will bring that school fund back up where it ought to be. I'm sure you will. I have that confidence in you. That's the reason I thank God for you, that your pastor doesn't say, well, I'll go back and we'll have a vote. And we'll get a motion in a second and decide whether we can help $25. No, I know this congregation. I announced Sunday a week ago, that there were 2 weeks ago, there was a preacher in need up in West Virginia. The service was over. I put a plate down here and one in the back. This congregation gave $650, just dropping money in for a preacher they don't even know. Thank God for you. You've been given a responsibility, and I'll tell you this, you're fulfilling that responsibility. And we cannot let these missionaries down. We've got to help. I'll tell you another case. Brother Jack Shanks said to me that his son Danny wrote him. They have a van that they drive that we help buy, but they bought another van from a church in St. Thomas, West Indies. Pay $1,500 for a little white Volkswagen van. It's broken down. He said they need to fix it so they can run the van in the other direction to bring people to church. And I told him this. He said, it costs $900. I said, we're going to pay half of it. I said, well, 13th Street will pay the other half. I know they will. I just know that, and because you feel that the missionaries' ministry in all these places is your ministry, because it's your Lord's ministry. Here's the third thing. The thing that encourages me to keep on this present course is God has brought together here in this place and friends in other places. God has brought together these people who are talented. Gifted people. We have gifted men in this pulpit. We have gifted people in that office. Gifted people in that tape room. Gifted people on these instruments. Gifted people out here. God has gifted you. Not first of all with a knowledge of Christ. That's a gift. The gift of God's eternal life. Secondly, he has gifted you. He has blessed you financially. The 13th Street Baptist Church is able to give because God enables us. And I'll tell you this. God enabled you in order that you might give. You know something? There's a sea called a Dead Sea. You know why it's a Dead Sea? Because everything flows in and nothing flows out. It's a Dead Sea. It just sits there dead. It has no exit. I don't know what you'd call it, but it has no outflow. It comes in, but nothing goes out. The water that's the freshest, and the water that's the safest to drink, and the water that produces its tree in its season, is that flowing water. The water flows into the lake, and the water flows out. And it keeps fresh water in there all the time. And I'll tell you this, as God abundantly supplies our need, as He blesses us, we don't use it on ourselves totally. We provide with need, the needs. But we give it out. We send it on to somebody else. Reach in, take it, and hand it out like this, you know. You could stop a dime and buy your ice cream cone once in a while, you know. But you reach up and get it and hand it out, and that keeps fresh. The fresh water in that lake. That's right. This church ever stops giving, God will stop blessing. Now, He doesn't bless because you give, but you stop giving and see. I don't know how to explain that, but that's so. The fountain dries up, the source will dry up. And you're talented people who work, who give, who pray, who preach, who make this ministry possible. I am most aware of anybody here. You may not know it, but I am more aware of it than anybody here. That I couldn't stand in those pulpits in Mexico last week were it not for you. I give God the glory, but I know God uses means. Now here's the fourth thing that keeps me on this present course is this. We're nothing, and I know it. We're nothing. I can say with the Apostle Paul at least one thing. He said, who is he that planteth? Who is he that watereth? Who is he that does these various things? We're nothing but ministers of Christ. Nothing. Nothing. God has never needed any man except the man Christ Jesus. God has never needed any man. He's never needed any group of men. But God is pleased to use men. And I tell you whom God is pleased to use. In His miraculous purposes, in His miraculous grace, He'll use men whom men won't use. God's going to use that which is foolish in the eyes of men. God is going to use the base. God is going to use the despised. That's what He said. God hath chosen that no flesh should glory in His presence. You say, who are you and who are we? Nothing. That's what I said. But God's always used nothings in order that He might get all the glory. That's why He does it. If we were special, if we had credentials, if we were somebody, if we commanded the attention and affection of this world, God would not use us for His glory. He wouldn't do it. But God will use whom He will to accomplish His purpose, and He'll do it by His divine power and grace. And we must remember one thing, chiefly, importantly. Let's stay nothing. Our day of usefulness may be near its end. I don't know. I don't know. We may never have another great conference. Nothing else may ever happen. God raises up people for a time. Somebody said, well, God must not have been in a certain church because it folded up. Church's Ephesus folded up too. But God was in it. Where's Spurgeon's church today? Where's Jonathan Edwards' church today? 80% of the people in Northampton, Massachusetts, don't even know who Jonathan Edwards is. But they knew one time. They knew one time. And I say our day of usefulness may be near its end. I don't know, but until then, may God give us the grace, with all the temptations to sit down, with all the temptations to, well, the pastor's not there today, I'll just stay home, with all the temptations to, well, oh, they just always need money down there. Yeah, unfortunately, people always need money. They always do. But let's keep on. Now, may he give us the grace to be faithful. And I'll tell you something I read by an old preacher just yesterday. This is worth writing down. I may put it in the bulletin. The soul's best and truest foundation is the love of Christ and love for Christ. Once a man or a woman knows and loves Christ, and the truth of the gospel of Christ, there's no turning back. Do you believe that? Once a man or a woman knows and loves Christ and knows the truth of Christ, there's no turning back. The world and self and error have no more place in that person's heart. I can't go back. The disciples said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. Now in 1 John 5:20, I want you to look at something in closing. Here's the fifth thing. Here's the fifth thing that gives me the determination to pursue this present course till God winds it up. Verse 20 of 1 John 5. And we know that the Son of God is come. I know that. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. The surety of the everlasting covenant. The seed of woman whom God announced in the garden. That prophet of whom Moses spake. That great priest after the order of Melchizedek. That seed of David. Who is the Christ? He's the Son of David. The one called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He has come. Mike, he has come. He has come. He was born of the Virgin Mary, walked this earth in absolute perfection and righteousness on behalf of a chosen people, went to that cross and bought our redemption and paid it in full, was buried and rose again as our justifier and ascended to the right hand of the majesty on high, where he is seated, expecting till his enemies become his footstool. I know it. I know it. You do too. You know that. You know that. And secondly, we know the Son of God has come and he has given us an understanding. He's given us an understanding. We didn't learn it in school. Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father revealed it to you. He hath given us an understanding. A heavenly understanding, a supernatural understanding, a spiritual understanding, an understanding of what? What Brother Fortner preached, was it last Sunday night, Romans 8? That God's on the throne, sovereign, immutable, infinite in all things. That man's in the gutter, ruined by the fall. That God did elect the people. God verily did. He did. He chose a people and gave them to Christ. And Christ died for him in effectual work, that he walked this earth in perfect holiness, imputing to us a perfect righteousness, that he redeemed us by his blood, he justified us by his grace, And the Holy Spirit regenerates. I don't understand it completely, but I do understand it in part. God hath given us an understanding. That God hath from the beginning chosen us to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And God's people will persevere. They will be preserved and they will persevere. And there's plenty of room in heaven, but there's no vacancies. And every place setting will have a sheep. And they'll all sing the same song unto him who loved us and washed us from his blood. He's given us an understanding. Look at the next line. Where we are, he said, he's given us an understanding that we may know him. No, not just know about him, but know him. And we're in him. Where are we? In him. We're in Christ. I in them and thou in me, Christ said. We're in Christ. We're in him by covenant mercies. God put us that. We're in him by representation. In Adam all die. In Christ we're made alive. In Christ. We're in him as the branch is in the vine. We're in his loins as a son is in the loins of a father. We're in him in his perfect life, in him in crucifixion, in him in resurrection, and in him seated in him in the heavenlies, in Christ. We're in him. All that he is, we are. All that he has, we have. We're in him by faith. God miraculously gave us faith to believe. We believe that thou art the Christ. We know he has come. He has come, and he's given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, not just a God, but the living God. And we're in him by covenant mercies, in him by representation, in him by full satisfaction, in him in perfect holiness, accepted in the Beloved. And watch this. And my friends, this is the true God. And this is eternal life. And anything else is a false religion. I don't care what name it goes under. I don't care what rule or standard it advocates. It doesn't matter how generous and supportive it is of humanitarian purposes. This is the true God. This is eternal life. He has come. Jesus, this is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of acceptation by all men of all nations, tribes, kindreds, and tongues, that the Son of God has come. He has come. And our understanding and knowledge of God is in him. No man knoweth the Father but the Son, he to whom the Son will reveal him. And we're in him. Preacher said on television Friday night, free will is the passport to salvation. Your free will is the foundation of your salvation. And salvation is up to you. It's not up to God. It's up to you. That's not true. That's not the true God. He has come and he gave us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we're in him. We're not in our church or denomination or religious profession or in our own free will. We're in him. Accepted in the Beloved. Redeemed in the Beloved. Justified in the Beloved. Well, what do I do, preacher? Look to him. Seek him. Call upon him. Fall upon your face before him. If you want water, come to the fountain. Don't try to make you one. If you want life, come to him. He is life. If you want forgiveness, come to him. He's the merciful one. Don't come to me. Don't raise your hand or come to the front or come to the pool. You can take a bath at home or come to the elements. Come to Christ. Lay hold upon Him. Look to Him. Embrace Him. Cast yourself at His feet. If you go to hell, you're going anyway. You can't lose anything. All you can do is gain. That's what the leper said. We cast ourselves on the hands of our, on the mercy of our enemies. We got everything to gain, nothing to lose. We're going to starve anyway. So I tell you, cast yourself on the mercy of Christ. He may save you. He doesn't have to. But nobody else can. He may. He's never turned anybody away yet. You may be the first one, but I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Our Father, we are thankful. You've blessed us above all people on the face of this earth. What we have is a gift of your love, a gift of your sovereign grace, an unchangeable gift in Christ, such a precious gift, the gift of life, the gift of Christ. What we have here in this fellowship is a gift of your love, the talent is all by your grace, gifts of these people. In ourselves, we're nothing, know nothing, have nothing, deserve nothing. But in Christ, we have all things, and we can do all things. Lord, give us a vision. Without a vision, the people perish. Increase our faith. Give us a love for Thee and for one another and for folks we don't even know. Give us a pity and compassion on those outside and for them. Open new doors and responsibilities and privileges and opportunities for us and make us faithful to them. Speak to the hearts of people by your Spirit. Reveal Christ to their hearts and bring them to love Him. Lord, we'll preach your grace if nobody believes. But we pray that they might believe and come to the Savior. We pray in His name and for His glory. Amen.